So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and, well, not so much Les Thatcher tonight. Les Thatcher is under the weather, but we do have a special guest co-host for tonight. He's former WWE announcer, and you might have heard him on the show at one point or another. Kevin Kelly is with us. Kevin, I want to thank you for being on.
Thank you for asking me, and I certainly can't fill Les's shoes, but I certainly hope to smell them by the end of the show.
Probably. You never know. I got to tell you, Kevin, though, I have the hugest headache today.
And Les not being here, I'm sure, is going to make it even worse.
It's a media-induced headache.
Media-induced?
Yes. Media.
Well, now, how do you get a... What the heck? How could the media cause you to have a headache?
Because I have to keep looking at it so I know what's going on, and this whole story is just giving me a big headache. It's stressful.
I feel bad for that. I feel bad, and again, let's see what we can do to cure... Let's see if this can be the Advil that cures your headache.
I hope so, Kevin, because... I've lost my smile, as they say.
Oh, no. No, not that.
It's not going to be that bad that I'm going to go away for 6 weeks and come back and all that. But, no. We got a lot of good stuff for you on the show tonight. And, yes, we are going to try to cure this headache. Of course, we're going to talk about Benoit and the news that came out this week. Or, excuse me, that news that came out this afternoon about Benoit. But also we've got Sarah Del Rey. She's going to be on the show tonight. She's the Shimmer Women's Champion, the very first one, Kevin.
You know, and again, it's a renaissance of women's wrestling lately, and it seems like all-girl shows are increasing in popularity, and what traditionally was a feature to have a girls match, now you're finding all-girls matches, but they're... These girls are a heck of a lot different than the WWE divas, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. We'll be talking to her about that. Lots more stuff. Brian Alvarez is going to be, and I am talking fresh off the heels of his Nancy Grace interview tonight, is going to be on the program. So we're going to get, I guess, the post-game report from Brian. And all the Benoit stuff we're going to save. Our hot topic tonight, of course, is going to be the Benoit situation, and what's the latest on that. We're going to be talking with Brian in hour number two about that. But, Kevin, right now it's time for the weekly news.
Is there a music?
No, there's no music. It's just, here we go. That's how I like to do it on this show. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that Edge has a torn pectoral muscle. We heard, I guess, last Friday that he was hurt. We didn't know how bad yet, but now it's been brought out that it's a torn pectoral muscle. This was due to the bump that he took at SmackDown on Friday during the Mardi Gras angle with Kane. Now, I'm not sure exactly which bump it was. I seriously doubt it's the bump where he knocked that lady down. Or I guess it was a woman. Did you see this, Kevin?
No, I did not.
Oh yeah, Edge comes out, and you know he's been paranoid. Kane's been following him around, and he's seeing Kane in the mirror. You know, what does that sound like? But so he comes out. He's having this big Mardi Gras celebration at the end, and they have those really tall, I guess, costume looking people that are in the Mardi Gras parade. One looked like a queen of sorts. Another one looked exactly, and I'm saying exactly, like the Burger King. Which was quite scary.
Yeah.
So he comes out, and, you know, and he's parading around, and he just stops, and he's staring at the lady costume. And it's this big, it's like 8 foot tall costume. And he, and you know, he's sitting there looking at it. Everybody's like, what is he staring at? And then he just runs over and spears it. He's like, I know that's you in there, Kane. I know that's you. The Burger King takes off his head and his cane. And the Burger King guy was standing behind him. Throws him in the ring, beats him up, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, Edge injured from this now. Torn pectoral muscle. He's going to be out for an undetermined amount of time. It's going to depend on whether he's going to go in for surgery or attempt to rehab. Decision hasn't been made at this time. Reports say that Edge was said to have been bummed over the timing of the injury, of course, because the plan was for WWE to give him a long reign as a champion, and he was going to be the top star of the brand. But as of yesterday now, the plan is for tonight, during the SmackDown tapings, that he's going to come out and forfeit the World Championship, and that a Battle Royal is going to take place to determine a new heavyweight champion. The winner of that Battle Royal is going to make their first title defense this Sunday at the Great American Bash. That's the whole big story.
Well, it is it's a huge story, and it is a tremendous blow to SmackDown and to Edge. You know, as Edge, one of the stabilizing forces on that brand, you know, after the brand extension and Edge having the chance to go over to SmackDown, it's always a shame. And I've heard it said that almost the SmackDown champion, the world champion, is cursed in a way. There have been so many injuries. And again, you know, the Edge got the title because the Undertaker was hurt.
Right.
And, you know, you always hate to see guys getting hurt. And we won't know if it happened because of something that he did, you know, that was an accident, so to speak. But you always hate to see it in a non-wrestling segment. You know, if a guy gets hurt during a match, it's one thing.
Right.
But to see him, you know, get hurt and shelved for even 1 week because he's having to play with, you know,
angles,
objects. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like, ah, you hate to see that. But whatever they do, it'll be interesting. I've seen it reported today. Mike Johnson on PWInsider.com says that Khali's getting the belt. I saw on the Observer site that Shear gave credit to Mike for that. Said that is one of the plans that's being talked about. We'll see how it plays out. Of course, you know, it's 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll see what exactly happens as SmackDown goes to tape tonight.
Yeah, it'll probably be happening live while we're on the air tonight. But so if you're listening to this on the replay, well, you know, you got to be here live, and you can find out with us. But it better not be Khali.
Yeah.
It can't be Khali.
I can't think of who it could or should be.
Throw it back on Batista at this point. Now, I know you're saying Khali's going to win the Battle Royal. Okay. I wouldn't even say let him win the Battle Royal, because I would like to see whoever wins the Battle Royal lose it to Batista and give him one more chance with it.
Well, I think it was a given that Batista certainly would get another run after Edge would drop the belt.
Right.
And I think what they wanted to have happen was, obviously, with Ed, with the long-term plan being Edge's champion, let's have Batista work in another money program with someone else,
mm-hmm.
and that could help the depth. You know, again, we'll see how it all plays out. But Khali versus Batista could be in our immediate horizons, Doc. And I know that there's a twinkle in your eye at just the mere mention of that match.
No, absolutely not. There's something about Khali. I mean, okay, there's not something about Khali. He's not a good wrestler.
Oh, he's rotten.
He's horrible.
He is rotten. And I think the determining factor is, would you allow Khali to date your sister? And the answer would be no, of course. You'd let Edge do it. You let Batista do it. But I
wouldn't let Edge come near my sister, but that's another story.
Yeah, but again, I think you have, you know, that's one of the determining factors of who you'd like to have as your top guy of your brand.
Right.
Would you let Cena date your sister?
I don't know. Maybe.
I would.
I probably. I don't think Cena's such a bad guy. I mean, I know a lot of people hate Cena, and it's basically like what Les has said before on the program about this is that it's sort of like the Elvis syndrome in that, you know, all the girls like him, so all the boys automatically hate him, and I think it's just a thing like that. But from what I've heard, and I don't know personally, of course, but from all accounts, you know, that he's a really nice, grounded guy.
Yep, always.
Plus, he's rich, so, yeah, he could probably date my sister.
He's a working champion, that's for sure. He's on everything and is everywhere and is exactly what you want representing your company as its top star.
Yeah, so let's move on to that. We'll get to some more about Cena a little bit later when we go over the Great American Bash pay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. We're, of course, Les and I usually play the pay-per-view prediction game. But Les isn't here today, so Kevin, I'm inviting you to play against me, and we'll find out next week who wins.
Great, and what prizes do you and Les usually play for?
Bragging rights.
Oh, and that, of course, worth more than any monetary award ever.
Of course. To say that I predicted more matches on a pay-per-view than Les, the man who's been in the business for 47 years... Yeah, that's bragging rights. That's better than gold right there. And last year, I was just all over this game. I wiped Les out every month. And, well, this year, he's, you know, won almost every time. But so who knows? It's always a guess. But anyway.
07 has been the year of Les Thatcher so far. So
yes.
Since I'm filling in for him, I can't let that streak subside.
No, because we're going to find out the results from last week. A little bit later in the show from the TNA pay-per-view. And if Les wins and you lose, that means you are going to be the man to break Les's winning streak. And
damn it.
You don't want to have all that.
No, I couldn't live with myself, and I'm sure Les wouldn't let me forget about it either.
No, so the pressure's on. Moving on, former WWE World Tag Team Champion Rosie is going to be starring in an upcoming reality series on ABC called Fat March. Rosie, whose real name is Matt, will be one of 12 contestants who will walk over 570 miles, passing through nine states, while stopping to participate in exercise-based challenges.
See, now, when I first heard about this story, I thought, well, great, since she left The View, now that fat tub of goo can finally lose some weight. We won't have to listen to Rosie O'Donnell's big yap and then come to find out that it's the wrestler.
Yeah, and we all were hoping. But no,
yeah.
It's actually the wrestler. And I guess the starting line of this is the start of the Boston Marathon. That's where this series is going to start. It's going to end in Washington, D.C., of all places. I don't know
And
why.
Now, if they have any Kenyans in this thing, I'm going to protest. Because those little bastards seemingly win every marathon, every long-distance race.
No, these are all overweight people. I think the youngest might be 25.
Wow.
And I read the press release, and one of them, and I think this guy, he's 25 years old, and in the press release, it called him a 25-year-old unemployed virgin.
Boy, oh boy, tell me that isn't a resume headline right there.
I know, ABC made a point to put this in their press release, so I thought that was funny. But everybody on the show is going to be competing for a prize pool. It's going to be worth more than $1 million. The stressing teamwork, it says, the more people who finish, the more money each person wins. The show starts in 2 weeks, right after Wrestling Weekly, on ABC.
Well, great. So we can get done listening to the show, and then we can tune into Fat March.
Absolutely.
Now, will this show last until March? Because it would take a hell of a long time to walk from Boston to Washington.
Well, yeah. The show's not live, Kevin. I assume they've done, you know, I assume the whole contest is over already.
Oh.
And, you know, don't you watch reality TV?
Well, sure I do. Every week. I do enjoy, my favorite show right now is Hell's Kitchen.
Are you serious?
I love that show. I hang on every second of it. And when Gordon, whatever his name is, says, shut it down. Shut the whole thing down. I just laugh and laugh and laugh. It's the highlight of my week.
Well, now you got a new show to watch, I guess.
Yeah.
Jim's Barbecue, Jim Ross's, excuse me, barbecue restaurant. I can't speak tonight. Jim Ross's barbecue restaurant in Oklahoma officially opened its doors last Wednesday, guys. More information can be found over at jrsbarbecue.com. Ross has photos up of the restaurant on the main page with the people who stopped by. Congratulations to Jim Ross. I myself love barbecue.
You know what? If I ever find myself in Oklahoma, I will definitely go out of my way to eat at JR's Barbecue, because I've had some of JR's Barbecue sauce, and it was fantastic. And I remember working on the cookbook with him, and I know that that was, I would imagine that the food is really, really good quality.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had got to sample that, because I believe it came out when you were still working there, right?
Yeah, we had some of the sauce, of course. Now, I want JR to be mindful. You know, we're going to be probably sending down some agents. We want to make sure that he has, you know, that he has no illegals working in his kitchen. But can you see the vignettes? Can you see Briscoe and Patterson going down there to sample some barbecue and having a good old time at JR's place? And Then the Bushwhackers show up. And,
and every time WWE goes to Oklahoma, there's a brawl inside Jim Ross's barbecue restaurant.
Well, you used to have every time they went to Rhode Island,
right,
the white friendly tap would get beaten up and disheveled.
Right.
So I do, you know, I don't think we're giving away anything to say that there has probably been significant discussion about the next trip to Oklahoma featuring some kind of brawl inside JR's barbecue. But Tim White really enjoyed every time the friendly tap would get beaten up and broken, because that would be the time when the bar would get new stuff. You know?
Paid for, yes.
Yeah, hey, because they would just hear, whatever it costs, here you go. And Timmy would go, yeah, thanks.
And
come
you
on
get
back.
To have it on, and you get to have it on TV.
Couldn't do without the free advertising, so how do they repay him? They repay him by killing him off, or at least attempting to.
Yeah. Is he still working there at all?
I don't know. I don't know if Tim was able to come back to refereeing because of his shoulder injuries. And I don't know if he has a backstage role as an agent. I know he had been with the company forever and had done so many things with the company behind the scenes other than refereeing. I can't see Timmy not having a role if he's physically capable of and if he really wanted to.
And luckily his role is not being on the internet and trying to commit suicide every week.
Right. In fact, I asked somebody about that last week. I couldn't remember what had happened. What was the finish of all of that?
And oh, my
actually,
God, you
didn't
know?
Actually, didn't they wind up... I had given up on it like 2 weeks in. And all I remember was is that it was so bad they continued it on the internet. And Josh wound up getting it, right?
Yes. He ended up killing Josh. And there was, like, no reason for it. It was supposed to be, you know, Josh comes in there and... there's balloons everywhere, and all of a sudden Tim's happy and he's healthy and he's loving life, even though he's not talking. And so they start showing all these vignettes of all the past episodes, and you know, they're drinking in between them and laughing and stuff like that. And towards the end, they're just Josh is completely trashed, and he's like, "Oh, that was just such a great time. We had such a great. What are you doing with that gun?" And he pulls out a shotgun. And he's got this weird grin on his face, and then you just hear boom, and that was it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that at one time Vince McMahon thought that was funny.
Oh, sure. And that's a laugh a minute.
And then I guess those were replaced by Vince McMahon and his ass cartoons.
Right. Did they have those on the website?
They had two before they stopped it.
Oh, see, I try not to go on to WWE.com because it just litters my computer with spyware.
Really?
It just slows it down. I never like going there.
I don't go there unless I have to, really, because, like, anything that's of any importance, somebody else will print anyway.
Yeah.
on a site that doesn't have a bunch of pop-ups on it.
Right.
But you couldn't really get the cartoons anywhere, but it had the coolest theme song ever. It went something like, dun-dun-dun-dun, Mr. McMahon and his ass, and his ass. Dun, 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 dun. It was the greatest cartoon entrance ever, but I think they got sued because of it. Like there was a writer from the Cartoon Network, who had some sort of cartoon that was similar, and they sued WWE and they immediately took it off. I don't know whatever became of the lawsuit, but I mean, like within 2 days, the cartoons were gone. You know, two episodes. Oh well. Let's move on. ECW Press announced today that it had signed author Irvin Muchnick to write a book about the sensational case of wrestler Chris Benoit. The book's entitled Chris and Nancy, The True Story of the Benoit Murder, Suicide, and Pro Wrestling's Cocktail of Death. It's going to be published next year. Muchnick is the author of the hot-selling ECW Press book Wrestling Babylon, Pile-Driving Tales of Sex, Drugs, Death, and Scandal. It's like, wow, what does this guy like to write about?
Yeah, really.
I guess it says the appendix of Wrestling Babylon documents the premature deaths of nearly 100 wrestlers over the last generation from drugs and related aspects of the pro wrestling lifestyle, which we'll get into some of that a little bit later when Brian gets on. Because Brian Alvarez, of course, he is the owner of Figure Four Online and does the Figure Four newsletter. Has just been fielding questions all day about what's going on about this, and he think he'd be more articulate about it than I would, so we're going to do that a little bit
later.
Yeah,
I'll be interested to find out what role what role Brian feels the lifestyle had in contributing to what happened, because that really is what this all boils down to, is choices that these men and women are making, and the reasons why they make them. You know, are there external forces, or is it mainly internal? Is it the lifestyle that is getting to them? I'll be interested to find out. But I do have a feeling, Doc, that this will not be the only book that's written about the Benoit tragedy. I know that there have been hundreds of books written about what happened with O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman and Princess Di and JFK and other things where we will never know what really happened. It leaves people to speculate. It always makes good fodder for books. So this is the first of what I'm sure will be many written on the subject.
Right. There have been a lot of deaths like that where people aren't exactly sure what happened, how it happened. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories. Marilyn Monroe was one.
Right.
But this is the first one really in wrestling in this day and age, in the media era, I guess you can say.
And certainly the most prominent star of wrestling of any era to be involved in something like this.
Yes, definitely. Did you catch Raw?
I caught the end. I saw the last segment.
Raw, I thought Raw was pretty good last night. Booker T came out at the beginning of the show. And, they actually started with Triple H's theme, the Bow Down to the King song. And, you know, here comes Booker T. Everybody was all excited, and then, you know, they were pretty mad when Booker came out. So that actually, I thought, was a good way to get heat. I've seen it done before, but I haven't seen it done in a long time. So it was acceptable to me. But anyway, he came down, and he was basically hinting at a future feud with Triple H over the name King.
That's very good.
Which wouldn't be the first time, of course. So he says, oh, Triple H, he's going to get what's coming to him, and blah, blah, blah. But he says, but I have just one small matter to attend to tonight. And he goes over to Jerry Lawler, which I was like, I knew this was coming. So he's kissing up a little bit to Jerry. He's like, you know, I respect you, and blah, 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 but I'm going to have to respectfully, you know, request that you drop the name King from your name. You know, and everybody's like, you know, tell him no, and they're screaming, and he's thinking about it for a second. He's like, you know, I don't see why, you know, and he said, I respect you too, you know, and I respect what you've done, but I don't see why we can't, you know, share the same name, you know. We can both be kings. And Booker T's like, no, you know, that wouldn't be monarchy, you know. There can only be one king, you know. And so Jerry actually, which was shocking to me, says, well, if it means that much to you, I can't control what JR calls me, I can't control what the fans call me, but I won't call myself King no more. And Booker T's like, okay. And I, you know, he thought that was settled, and he's like, oh, just one other little tiny thing, you know, in order to, just as a sign of good faith, I want you to kiss my ring. And Jerry's like, I'm not kissing your ring. And then they got face-to-face, and Booker's like, I demand that you kiss my ring. And Jerry's like, I'm not kissing your ring. And then it was on. Booker T slugged Jerry. Jerry slugged him. People pulled him apart. I don't know what's going to be coming of that. They dragged Booker T backstage. He's yelling, and he's going to get him. And I assume it'd be a warm-up to Booker T fighting Triple H over the name. And this isn't the stupidest thing that Booker T has fought over, because he once fought Edge over Shampoo, remember?
That's right. They were Shampoo rivals, and who would be the spokesperson for the Shampoo commercial?
Right.
Now we're fighting over something much more tangible, mythical monarchies that
yes.
only exist in the imagination and the minds of wrestling and wrestling fans.
Yes, so Booker T, you know, he knows what's important. And what you should fight over and things and what you should let go. He's a smart
right.
guy like that.
Yeah, again, I never mind seeing Jerry Lawler physically involved. I saw a couple of weeks ago Dusty Rhodes in prelude to what will be his match with Randy Orton.
Mm.
And I'm not looking forward to seeing Dusty Rhodes, because he looks very old. He looks very tired. And I just don't. But Lawler still looks great, and I don't mind seeing him. I never mind seeing Flair, even though he does show his age to me a little bit more than Lawler.
Yeah.
I don't mind seeing those guys don the tights and get out there and let it go.
He can still go.
Yeah, and then you know, Dusty is Dusty, and I'm sure what he does with Randy will be very good at the pay per view.
Yeah, as far as psychologically, I'm sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Snitsky, have you seen the man's teeth lately?
Why?
They're completely yellow.
Well, I mean, I think it may be part of the new wellness policy that, again, teeth whitening, white strips, are banned substances. Have we looked into that?
I haven't. I'm going to have to get a hold of Jerry McDevitt and find out what exactly is going on with that.
Find out what the ratio is of yellow compared to enamel. See if it falls within the guidelines. And perhaps that can explain Snitsky's yellowing teeth.
You know, Snitsky's teeth crack me up because they're supposed to be yellow and nasty, which they are. But if you look close, they're perfectly straight, and they show no signs of decay. So it's like, okay, my teeth are nasty, look. But they're just yellow.
Maybe Snitsky will find himself an ally in Kane if they can, you know, perhaps turn back the hands of time. He could go see Isaac Yank and DDS.
Yeah, yeah, get those things fixed.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the mama joke. Your mama's teeth are so yellow, I can't believe it's not butter. I always love that joke because you can say that joke anywhere and it's not necessarily vulgar.
Right.
Like you could say that even in an elementary school.
Right, and they probably do, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
For those wondering, though, Snitsky had his teeth dyed, like professionally.
What?
Snitsky had his teeth dyed. This is a fact. He wanted to really get into this character and show WWE that he was going to be a good sport and be a team player. And he went to the dentist, and he had his teeth dyed yellow.
Now, remember the Seinfeld episode where Kramer had taken up pipe smoking?
No.
And he began smoking a pipe because he thought it looked cool, and by the end of the show, his face looked haggard, and his teeth were yellow, and he was a wreck. He's like, my looks are all I've caught. So, Snitsky going down the road less traveled by Kramer and getting his teeth yellered.
Yeah. So I guess Snitsky saw that episode. I didn't.
Again, if you really want to follow the career path to success, do what Michael Richards does.
That was wrong on so many levels. But
you notice you just...
Because I know what you're talking about, Kevin.
Move on. Next topic.
Orton versus Cody Rhodes was pretty good. Cody wanted to stick up for his old man, got in the ring with him. I thought it was pretty good as far as psychology and stuff like that. Of course, Cody needs a lot more experience and stuff like that. But they had this huge false finish, and the fans really bought it. And it's been a long time and far between since I've seen the fans really buy a false finish like that.
I think I remember seeing when Cody first appeared, and And I think the audience is going to really, really like him. There's something about him. Yeah, green is grass, no doubt about that. But I think this kid has, he's got star written all over him if he can, you know, keep it all together internally and stay healthy physically. I don't see any reason why he can't be successful. But that nice, a false finish is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
When people really get into that match.
When it works, it's great. But you rarely see that anymore. I mean, I've seen like one, two, and, you know, the wrestlers are selling it, and everyone's shocked in the ring, but the fans are just sitting there. And it's almost like they're looking at their watch and being like, it's not five after yet. This match isn't going to end. You know what I mean? It's like
they know.
And you really have to use the element of surprise, I think,
sure.
At this point. But Orton and Cody did this and just took them out of that disbelief and their awareness of what time it was or whatever. And they all went for it, and I thought that was great. Mickey, with Candice Michelle by her side, took on Melina, who had Beth Phoenix in her corner. And I noticed I did not hear the announcers. And guys in the chat room over at WrestlingWeekly.com, let me know if I'm wrong on this. But is it just me? Because I didn't hear the announcers mention Beth by name one time. And I hope I just wasn't paying close enough attention, because that's not a good sign. But I usually don't really pay close enough attention to what the announcers are saying when Mickey's on the screen anyway. So.
Right. And I wonder why.
My mind starts to wander, man. but I like the fact that they built up the main event for the Great American Bash pretty hard last night. They had Mick Foley come on, and they were doing these in-between, like, pre-commercial segments. Who do you think is going to win, Cena or Lashley, you know? And these wrestlers were giving their opinions. Even Steve Austin was there. It's like unannounced. He just decided to drop by and, you know, say who he thought was going to win and then take off to wherever he was going, go fishing or hunting or whatever after that. I just thought it was odd, but there he was on the screen last night, you know.
But, and that's one thing. I remember one of the when JR was suffering from his Bell's palsy,
mm-hmm.
and Michael Cole and I were doing Heat, and it was before the Rock Bottom pay-per-view in whatever that was, 1998 or 9, and JR was producing us as announcers, even though he wasn't on camera, and he said, you know, you can always mention the fact that this upcoming match, I think it was going to be Rock and Mick Foley. Oh, I know what it was Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
The match between The Rock and Mick Foley was so important that Jim Ross had to be there to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can do things like that to have people, it helps make a big match even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going segment by segment, but not to jump ahead. The end of that show did a great job of building up tension between two guys that their only issue is about the title. And that can be very difficult to do, but they did it to me last night.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I had read a lot of reviews that said it was corny and it was stupid and debates and this and that, but you know, I thought that they really made an honest effort to make this match seem very important and not over Shampoo or the name King or stuff like that. but, like you said, over the title. And I guess I've seen it maybe too much in the past. Even with all the effort that they put into it, it didn't really seem all that important to me, and it's not like I don't have to buy the pay-per-view. You know, it didn't convince me that I need to buy the pay-per-view, you know what I mean?
Right.
But they did make that effort, and that's better than what they usually do lately, so I have to give it up for them. Let's move over a little bit and go over the TNA pay-per-view from Sunday. This was, of course, Bound for Glory. And
yeah.
I'm pulling up the paper right now and seeing what the results are here. All right, there were some matches. Les and I played the pay-per-view prediction game last week. We made all our predictions for the matches that were announced at that time. Christopher Daniels won the 10-man Ultimate X Cluster to become the new number one contender for the TNA X Division title. I don't know, did you get a look at this pay-per-view or read the results of this?
Yeah, I read the results.
This was kind of an odd match because they didn't really say this before, but at the beginning of the match they said, okay, they've got, you know, so many guys coming into the ring, and it's at 1 minute intervals. Then they say if you're thrown over the top rope before all 10 men are in the ring, you're eliminated, which they'd never brought this up before this. Like, this just happens right before the match. But Christopher Daniels ends up winning this match. I was happy to see Shark Boy. I'm a big Shark Boy fan. I don't know what.
Sure.
I love Shark Boy. I love the gimmick. I like my serious wrestling, and I like to see guys like Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas go out there and do some technical stuff. But every once in a while, I like to throw in a gimmick. I like Abyss. I like Shark Boy. I like Carlito, actually, like the characters I'm talking about here.
I agree. I agree with you.
So, a little variety here, but I don't know. I'm a shark mark, I guess. But next match up, of course, was Voodoo Kin Mafia. They came out to defeat Basham and Damaja with Lance Hoyt and Christy Hemme at ringside. Voodoo Kin Mafia brings out... and a lot of people might not know who this lady was, but her name was Roxy Laveau. She's, of course, Nikki Rocks, the famous independent female wrestler. She's wrestled in Shimmer before also. And what's
funny... I'm sure I'd be interested to get Sarah Del Rey's take, our guest later on Roxy Laveau and... what she, you know, if she thinks she has what it takes to be successful in TNA.
Yeah, we'll get that. She came out like as this voodoo priestess, though. Like, she was dressed, you know, she had like paint on her face. She had these weird clothes. And like, at first the fans don't say anything, but then they start chanting, "What is that? What is that?" Which I just thought was hilarious. The fans are getting pretty creative lately in their chants. But,
well, you can always appreciate creativity.
Right. And the reason we're not, the reason we're not saying who got a point for these matches is because these weren't announced yet. But
well, I'll take the Christopher Daniels. Yeah, I got that. And the Voodoo Kin Mafia, I said they would win too.
Yeah, but you didn't make it official last week. Come on the show with us and play the game with us. You didn't do that.
Go back to the tapes and listen.
Yeah. I'll do that. James Storm defeated Rhino. Les and I had both went with James Storm on this one, so we got the point on this one. I don't really know what to say about this match except that I like Rhino, but it seems like when he gets a push, the fans don't catch on to it. They're not really into it. And so Rhino, I think, has been de-pushed, I guess you could say. And it didn't come as a big shock to me that James Storm was gonna beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, with Kevin Nash by their side, defeated Bob Backlund and Jerry Lynn. Which I can't believe Bob Backlund's actually still in the ring.
Hey, sure, why not?
You want to talk about old timers, but what a great wrestler he was back in the day, though.
He sure was, and Jerry Lynn's great too.
Jerry Lynn, I don't consider Jerry Lynn an old-timer yet. I guess I should, because he's somewhere in his 40s. But I still don't. I don't know why. I guess because he's still in good shape, and he still does wrestle independents all over the country.
Right, and it never feels like Jerry Lynn is an old-timer. But like you said, he is.
Yeah, I guess he is. That was also a match that wasn't announced when we played the game. Eric Young and Gail Kim defeated Robert Roode and Ms. Brooks. I like Ms. Brooks. Gail Kim is, I guess what's going around is that the Gail's really, really pushing herself hard. She compares herself to the men, and I'm not saying that she is saying she's as good as the man. She is training to the point where she wants to out-wrestle the men. You know what I mean?
Well, good. Good for her. God bless her.
Yeah, she's really got her head into this, and every time she comes on one of these DNA matches, I mean, she not only wrestles a great match, in my opinion, but she elevates the other females that she wrestles against.
And that's something that, you know, the girls from Shimmer, I know, pride themselves in, is elevating, you know, the product of women's wrestling. So, mm-hmm. Again, Sarah, I'm sure we'll have some... I'd love to hear what she thinks. You'd think, you know, again, you want to be happy and successful, or you want to be happy for other people's success. Is there any jealousy that she might feel? You know, you never know.
Right. I had went with Roode and Ms. Brooks on this match. Les went with Eric Young, so he pulls ahead by 1 point.
Way to go, Les.
Next up was Christian Cage defeating Chris Harris, which Les and I had both went with Christian Cage on that, so that pulls, that don't pull us even, but that keeps him ahead by one. What do you think about Christian Cage and his new moniker, the Instant Classic?
I think that anything that Christian does is great. He's yet to do anything wrong in my eyes in his entire career. Seriously.
Do you feel like TNA might be misusing him?
I don't know. I believe, you know, the ebb and flow of a guy up and down a card.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good thing. If you're always a main eventer,
you get stale.
It does get stale. And by moving down, it brings other people up along with you. Because again, I'm a believer that if Christian Cage is on the show, he's pretty much going to have the best match every night. Mm-hmm. So if he's, you know, in a program with a Chris Harris, that's only going to help Chris.
Right. Sting and Abyss defeated AJ Styles and Tomko. Sting and Abyss, that's just the weirdest, oddest combination that I could think of.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why, for me, it works.
It's something new.
Yeah.
But Abyss now finally speaks. Abyss can talk.
Well, of course he can.
And am I getting deja vu, or did this happen a few years ago with somebody who couldn't talk for a long time? And then
listen, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, John. Imitation is the sincerest form of wrestling.
Now, I know that Abyss personally does not want to imitate Kane, but it seems to me like TNA wants people to compare these two. And that's all, like, from the first time Abyss came out, all they're saying is, oh, a Kane ripoff. Oh, wow, he looks just like Kane. And I know that's got to get on his nerves and stuff like
sure.
that. But to bring some sort of storyline like this, and it started, it's not just this, because this is a little thing. Okay, Abyss didn't talk before, now he talks. Okay, fine. There's other people that did that. But then Abyss has this stupid storyline about his dad, about shooting his dad. One of his family members died. Somebody close to him dies. Kind of not only begs comparison to Kane and Katie Vick, but Kane and his entire family, which he killed.
Right.
So, you know, if they don't want people saying Abyss is a Kane ripoff, stop ripping off the angles that Kane's already done. That's just my advice. Les and I both went with Sting and Abyss on this one, so he's still up a point. Finally, the TNA X Division champion Samoa Joe wins the match of champions by pinning Brother Ray to become the holder of the TNA World Tag Team Champions. So this, of course, is going to bring up a future feud with Kurt Angle, who was already sporting two championships, the quote-unquote IWGP title and the X Division title.
Which stands for I Wrestle Good People.
Yes.
Okay.
And I wasn't expecting that. But
little known fact.
But see, Joe still comes out on top in this because in this battle of egos, I guess, because Joe has three belts, not two. He has both the World Tag Team Championship belts and the X Division belt.
Uh huh.
And Kurt Angle's only got two, so Joe already has an advantage.
Joe has three belts.
That's what I said.
Because the tag belts are three.
That's right. Well,
that's what I said.
That's what I just said. Joe's got three belts. Angle only has two.
Joe's got three belts.
That's right. I went with 3D on this. I thought somebody from 3D, and it was really teased very well that D-Von was going to win one of these belts. And that's another thing I've seen in the last week that where a false finish, I mean, really, really worked. So that was pretty cool. Les went with Angle and Joe on this one. Les wins by 2 points once again. So, Kevin, that means that you're in a little bit of trouble here.
Why?
Because that means Les won. His win streak is intact. And we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game right now for Great American Bash, and it's up to you. It's up to you to fill Les's shoes and come out with predictions that are going to best my predictions.
Well, I have prepared myself. It's in a matter of minutes here. I am ready to go.
All right. Let me bring up the list here. All right. First off, Batista versus the Great Khali. Which is going to be, of course, as you said, an excellent matchup.
Yeah. I'm going to make two predictions right here.
Okay.
I'm going to predict, first of all, that Khali is going to be this is going to wind up being a World Heavyweight Championship match.
You think, but the winner of the winner of the Battle Royal is going to take on Kane.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
I think they're going to do something goofy here with this. Well, this is a tough match to predict.
Do you think this will end up, even with that stipulation, turning into a World Heavyweight Championship match?
I can see them. All right, here's what I'm going to predict. I'm going to predict that they're going to put Kane in this match and make it a three-way for the title.
Okay.
And Khali retains, and then we'll build a little sub-program off of this with Kane and Batista.
Okay.
And we might even have those three guys running amok for the gold.
I am going to, this is going to be good in the fact that I have no clue who's going to win this. But I'm going to go with Khali.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a championship match, but I'm going to go with Khali on this one.
All right. And I predict Khali as well.
All right. Guys, you can play along at home and see if you can, beat me and Kevin at this game, get a higher score than us. But Les has been pretty much perfect lately, so it's been hard to beat him. And by perfect, I mean he gets the winner of every match. And it's starting to tick me off because 2006 was like he was my punk in that game. I just tore him up. Next up, the WWE United States Championship match is going to be MVP. Versus Matt Hardy, MVP being the champion going into this match.
I think MVP retains this matchup. He needs a win.
I'm going to go with you on that one. Not that in that he needs a win, but like it seems to me that Matt is it usually gets a push and gets built up and built up to fail. And then when it comes time down for, you know, do or die time, if it's a title or if it's a huge blow-off feud, he ends up losing. And I don't think that's going to be any different this weekend. So I'm going to go with MVP on that one also. And it does seem kind of like MVP hasn't gotten much TV time lately either.
Yeah, well, again, you know, his program with Chris derailed, and sometimes it takes a little bit to figure out what you're going to do with somebody.
Right. Next up is the Texas Bull Rope match that we so highly spoke of earlier, the Dusty Rhodes versus Randy Orton match.
And what's the stipulation on this?
This is a Texas Bull Rope match. The rope is tied to the wrist.
No. I understand the premise of a Texas Bull Rope match, but is anything having to do with Cody involved in this?
No.
Well, then I predict that Randy Orton wins.
Yeah. I can't see anybody, even Dusty's own family, predicting that Dusty is going to win this match.
Right.
And Dusty had said it himself in the angle on Raw when Orton challenged him to this match. He said, "I'm old and I'm out of shape and I'm in no shape to compete with you." I think they should have left it at that, but they ended up making this match anyway.
No, it was going to be painful that we were going to have to endure this match.
I really thought it was a setup and Dusty was going to say, "No, I'm in no shape to do this, but my son will kick your butt." And I really thought it was going to be Randy and Cody doing this match at the pay-per-view.
I think, again, this will further the heat and build the steam for this program. And I think it can be a good piece of business for Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton to fight down the road.
Hopefully.
But, again, Orton gets the Duke.
Yes. And going back to Raw for a minute there, I am glad that they didn't have Cody beat Randy Orton in some kind of fluke win, because we all seen what it did for Santino Marella.
Yeah, right.
Nothing.
Oof.
And, it was exciting when it happened, and then where else are you going to go but down after that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right.
So, luckily, they didn't do Cody that way. Umaga versus Jeff Hardy. This is going to be a WWE Intercontinental Championship match. Umaga and Jeff Hardy.
Who's the champion?
Umaga.
Umaga wins.
You can go with Umaga. I don't know. They had this big match at the beginning of Raw it was like the last few Intercontinental Champions that were in there. It was like Jeff Hardy and Santino and William Regal was in there. And it was a four-way match, and Jeff Hardy ended up winning this one. Big build-up to it. But
so Jeff Hardy got the win on Raw?
Jeff Hardy got the win on Raw.
Umaga wins on the pay-per-view.
That's what I'm thinking, too, because it was a big deal made out of it on Raw, but, I mean, it just came out of nowhere to see who was going to fight Umaga on the program. I say, yeah, Umaga goes over also. The Women's Championship, this is going to be between Candice Michelle and Melina.
Who's the champion?
Candice.
Go ahead, you pick first.
I'm going to go with Melina on this one.
I'm going to... Now, had Candice won the belt?
Candice has the belt.
Candice, you think we're going to have a new champion crown?
I think we're going to have a new champion, yes.
See, I want to pick differently because I want to. We've been the same.
I know. I usually try not to do that.
And I want to pick one match differently, and I think this is the one I'm going to pick differently. I think Candice Michelle retains.
Okay. You can always change your mind before the end of the game, like once we get them all out.
All right.
Which I did last week. I changed two of them, and the two that I changed were the two that I ended up losing by. So,
see?
Johnny Nitro taking on CM Punk. This is going to be for the ECW World Championship.
I think.
I don't even need to think about this one. I know who's going to win.
All right, you go first.
I say Johnny Nitro retains.
Yeah, I think so too.
You do. I definitely think he's going to.
Now, why do you definitely think he's going to win?
Because I see a bigger build-up, like a longer build-up for CM Punk to become the champion. I think it's too early.
I can see that.
But Then again, ECW's in a lot of trouble.
They
just got their lowest rating ever since they were on Sci-Fi last week. So you don't know. It could be CM Punk. I don't know.
Well, let's do this. I will say that CM Punk, Johnny Nitro wins,
mm-hmm.
but CM Punk has the belt the first show of the fall season. How about that?
We can't go that far into the future.
Yes, I can, I get five extra bonus points for that prediction.
I can just see us doing that show. I'd be like, remember that show 5 months ago where Kelly was the guest? He gets five extra points, and now now he wins. So if you heard the show 5 months ago, then just ignore it because now Kevin wins. No, we're not going to do that.
All right.
It's Johnny Nitro or CM Punk.
Damn it. Okay. But I do agree, again, more build-up is needed. It mm-hmm. can help the brand to have CM Punk as your champion in a properly built-up match. Give it away on TV because the brand needs it.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Oh, you think?
I don't know.
You don't think that the ECW brand needs help?
Oh, I definitely think they need help. But
okay.
Give it away.
Let's build it up. And give it away on, nobody's buying the pay-per-view to see Johnny Nitro versus CM Punk.
Right.
Maybe five people are doing that.
Right.
So that's where I think the ECW brand can utilize its TV, in a better role. Why not give the title matches away on TV?
At least just this once, right? At least just this once, right?
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, it could go down that way. And just because keeping the belt on Nitro at this point is the best thing to do doesn't mean that's what they're going to do.
Right.
I've been playing this game way too long to think that way. the World Heavyweight Championship is going to be the Battle Royal winner from tonight taking on Kane. And Kane's got to be on this pay-per-view somewhere. So, I mean, you can go with one or the other.
That's why I'm predicting...
You're gonna see. You're still going to say that. So I'll tell you this. All right, let's put this down. I'm gonna put you down to say the Battle Royal winner retains the belt against Kane.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I'm gonna go away from that angle, and I'm gonna say Kane gets the belt.
Okay.
At this point, because. It'll make it a little bit uneven here. Cena taking on Bobby Lashley. It's the big one. It's the championship.
John Cena.
Same here, my friend. I know a lot of people are saying, wow, Lashley's getting... He's really big. He's really tough. He's really mean. He's probably the biggest threat that Cena's ever, faced so far. He's still going to win.
Yeah.
Bobby's way, in my opinion... It's way too early for something like that. I would definitely give it a lot more time. So check it out, guys. Great American Bash Sunday, live on pay-per-view. Kevin Kelly and I are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we've got Brian Alvarez. He's going to be doing a Hot Topic with us. He's from Figure Four Weekly. And he is just, I'm literally walking out of the Nancy Grace Studios. We're going to get him on. Sarah Del Rey, the Shimmer Women's Champion, is going to be coming on the show in just a little bit. So we've got a lot more to go, guys. Stick around. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Kevin Kelly. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Wrestling-Radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to Wrestling-Radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. and also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from WWE 24/7 Hall of Fame and a whole bunch of other things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm working out of the back seat of my car right now, reminding you that you're listening to Wrestling Weekly with my very dear, close, personal, longtime friends, Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Keep it up. They've got a great show. I think you're going to love it forever. Work it.
There's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Doc Young and Kevin Kelly back here with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now from figure4online.com. He's the editor of the Figure 4 Online. Well, you know who he is. Brian Alvarez on the show. Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
Brian, you are just walking off the Nancy Grace set as we speak.
Yep. We just finished the show talking about the results of the toxicology report that came out today for Chris Benoit, and that was quite the fun time.
Let's go over this. Let's do this in chronological order. Let's first explain to us what the toxicology report means that came out this afternoon.
Well, they basically examined the bodies of Chris, Daniel, and Nancy to find out what, if any, drugs were in their system. For Nancy, they found hydrocodone, which would be Vicodin, Xanax, and she also had a blood alcohol level that she wouldn't have been able to legally drive, but they're thinking that that was probably a result of decomposition. Daniel had heavy levels of Xanax. Nancy's levels for all of the drugs were actually pharmaceutical levels, so nothing out of the ordinary. Daniel's levels were very, very high, so they believe that Chris probably sedated him prior to killing him. And then Benoit was found with hydrocodone and Xanax, both in therapeutic doses, and also a elevated level of testosterone. I believe his TE ratio is a 59-1, which is significantly higher than the WWE policy allows. And so today I got to hear all sorts of things about how he wasn't on steroids and how anabolic steroids and testosterone are two different things when in reality they are the exact same thing. But so he was on something, and you know, nothing in the report that was surprising, I guess, except for Daniel and the Xanax.
Now, let me get a clarification on this. About Daniel and the Xanax, did they say that he had a large amount in his system or a large amount for a child, but something consistent with, like, for an adult?
He had a large amount for anybody, and a child shouldn't even have Xanax.
Right.
It's not prescribed for children. So either way, he shouldn't have had it in his body.
Right. A 59-1 TE ratio, that's pretty high. Is it possible to, say, have a testosterone injection on a Sunday and have the ratio go down to maybe 10-1 by a Wednesday?
I'm not sure how fast the ratios go down. It really depends on the steroid. I mean, if you have a steroid that you have to inject regularly, then obviously it would make sense that it would the levels would drop significantly very quickly. If it's a steroid that stays in your system for a long time, then obviously your levels stay high for a long time. He was on straight testosterone, and the way that everything breaks down in your body after you die, he probably had taken a shot like the day of or the day before. I mean, he took this very, very shortly before he killed himself. So, you know, it's a high number. The medical examiner, I mean, he was specifically asked about the 59-1, and he didn't seem to think that this was a sky high as it regards replacement therapy. But to me, I'm not a doctor, but replacement therapy to me seems like it should replace what you've lost and put you under a 6-1. And he was at 59-1, which would fail any drug test for any sport anywhere in this country.
Right. The medical examiner, he said that, as you said, the levels of the testosterone, they weren't of any really consequence. He doesn't see roid rage being a byproduct of a 59-1 TE ratio. If that's so, why have a ratio limit in the drug test at all?
Well, I mean, you have a ratio limit because you shouldn't be having testosterone levels that high for a number of different reasons. I mean, I don't believe in the roid rage deal because, as I've said many times, WWE has been around since 1963, and guys have been on steroids in bodybuilding and wrestling since the late 50s, and there's a very, very small percentage, I mean a minuscule number of individuals that have committed homicide or killed their entire family. So to say that it was a roid rage deal, I can't believe that. But when you've got testosterone levels that high, you are going to have increased aggression. You may not kill somebody, but you may have some issues with anger. And, you know, you've also got, if you look at the list of the real list of wrestlers who have died in the past 10 years, there are a lot of heart attacks at very young ages. And, you know, several medical examiners have flat out said that these hearts were enlarged due to steroid use. So it's a health risk, and, you know, there are, you know, anger issues, maybe not enough to kill somebody, but you are going to get aggression and some other, would be the word, unfavorable reactions.
Mm-hmm. The medical examiner, he said that that Nancy had the alcohol in her system, but it could have been a byproduct of decomposition.
He believed it was.
Okay. So is it safe to assume that since no alcohol was found in Benoit's system, that Nancy drank all that beer and wine that was found in the house?
It could have been that. It could have been because of, I have no idea. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy for that. But, I mean, the bottle was empty, but we don't know if he drank it immediately prior, if he drank it, you know, a few days before and left the bottle there. I mean, it's an answer we'll never have.
Isn't it true, though, that the bottle of wine that was found was in the gym by his body?
Yes.
Okay. I was surprised, and I watched this press conference this afternoon, and nobody really, that never occurred to anybody to ask this question. And everybody was just coming left and right, trying to get this man to say a soundbite so where they could say, okay, it was steroids or it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Everybody really wanted it to be steroids. I mean,
yeah.
The majority of the questions asked were, could this have been a roid rage deal? And I think it is important to point out, I don't think it was roid rage, but he did not rule it out. He basically said we would never know, but I mean, it was not 100% ruled out. I don't think that's what it is, but it's in the next couple of days, I mean, we're going to hear a lot of stuff where people are going to say he completely ruled out roid rage, he was not on steroids. We're going to hear a lot of different things that aren't actually what was said in that press conference.
Now, we've already had a response from WWE. Have you seen this?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Can you explain what it was and your reaction to it?
Yeah. The two things I have to say is the lawyer for Dr. Astin was on the show today, and both him and Dr. Astin, I mean, if you look at the search warrant for Astin, it basically, I mean, it flat out says he prescribed 10 months worth of testosterone to Chris Benoit every 3 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Dr. Astin said, I have never prescribed steroids to Chris Benoit. The lawyer today said he had never prescribed anabolic steroids to Chris Benoit. And today, also in the WWE statement, they're trying to make, they're trying to differentiate between anabolic steroids and testosterone. Mm-hmm. Like, they're two completely different things. I mean, they flat out said he had testosterone in his system, but he was negative for anabolic steroids. The reality is, they're the exact same thing. And it's all a semantic argument by WWE, the lawyer, and Dr. Aston. They're all trying to claim that this testosterone he was taking was not an anabolic steroid, when it was. So it was very clear to me today when reading that what they're going to try to claim, which was, you know, that he was not on steroids. And when you look at the statement that came out from WWE and the New York Times, they flat out, I mean, in the New York Times, they said his April 10th test, he had tested clean for steroids. And if you look at the semantics of WWE, it's pretty clear that when they said steroids, they were not referring to testosterone. So I would bet that he was on testosterone during the April 10th test. I would suspect he was on testosterone during the previous three tests, which for whatever reason they're not releasing, which can tell you something right there. And I think that's what they're going to try to, I mean, when you read that statement, it's clear, they think this is all over. He wasn't on anabolic steroids, did not result in the death of his wife and child. He's gone, and we're moving on, and our policy is great. When obviously there are huge loopholes in that policy.
Mm-hmm. And, Ryan, and Kevin, where do you see this all going with involvements from states, increased government intervention? One thing I was concerned about was that Congress was talking about getting involved in investigating this, and I said, well, if they do that, then they had better haul in every record company, television studio, and movie studio as well. But again, I mean, WWE needs to do a better job of policing themselves. Do you see more involvement perhaps with state athletic commissions? Where do you see all this going down the road?
Well, it's difficult because if you're looking at a nationwide type deal, a federal investigation like the baseball, I mean, the thing with baseball is you've got a lot of stadiums and such that are built with public money. With WWE, I mean, you mentioned the record business and rock and roll and such. I mean, this is more like a traveling carnival that you're going to be asking the American public to spend their tax dollars attempting to clean up. Now, as far as, like, state athletics, the thing with regulation is there has been regulation in wrestling forever. I mean, when I wrestled up in Washington and Oregon, I always had to take drug tests. I had to do all of that. And Oregon was very strict, and the key is WWE just did not go there. And when Oregon got rid of all the regulations, they immediately booked the Rose Garden. So the thing with state-by-state regulation, you would need to have the biggest state in this country, or the biggest markets, the New York, Chicago, L.A., Florida, major markets like this would have to all institute a policy, sort of like you've got in M.A., and all enforce it, and it would have to be places where WWE absolutely could not avoid. And, you know, I think that that's something that's probably not in the near future. I don't see that happening. And, you know, anything less than that, they'll just avoid states, and, you know, it'll make no difference.
Listeners, we apologize for the crackling under Brian's voice. He is in transit, of course, from the Nancy Grace show at this time. Brian, how exactly, like, who was on the Nancy Grace show tonight? Can you kind of fill us in on what exactly went on?
Let's see. We had myself, Dave Meltzer, Conan, Mark Merrow, Dr. Aston's lawyer, Dr. Black, who's the guy in charge of the policy, and Jerry McDivitt, who is WWE's head of legal. You had, I believe, Susan Moss is her name, the woman with the mouth, and a number of other lawyers and doctors and psychologists. So there's about 25 people on there, I think.
Did you get a word in edgewise? Or?
They asked me a question right at the top of the hour, just basically about what, if I was surprised about this.
Uh-huh.
And they asked Dave the same thing, and then I don't think they heard from us again. They didn't come back to us for about 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, I mean, Dave had, you know, 3 hours worth of things he needed to say. So in a very rushed manner, he got in as much as he could, and then they went to me, and I did the same thing. And we did as best we could, but it is TV, and this is how things work. And so, you know.
All right. Brian, we're gonna go ahead and let you go for now.
Sounds good.
I appreciate you coming on. We are having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, but hopefully you guys get the gist. We can pretty much make out what you're saying, but it's a little bit off. So
back on, and we'll just go over it again.
Yeah, we could do that all over again. but no, we'll see you soon here back on the show, and safe travels, because we know you're on your way home.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Brian. Brian Alvarez here for Hot Topic Guys on Wrestling Weekly tonight, and had to let him go. Uh-oh, hold on a second there. I got to let him go, Kevin. That's better.
There he is.
All right. Kevin, we just got done playing the pay-per-view prediction game, and I know you used to work for WWE. I am calling shenanigans. I am saying that you had inside info, but it's just coming out now that Khali has won the Battle Royal and the World Championship.
Well, I told you, I gave credit where credit was due. The BWI insiders, Mike Johnson, was the first one to report it. And
this is horrible.
Well, again, that's the news. But the fact is that there still needs to be, you still need to be predicting a winner for Sunday. And, you know, so it throws a lot of monkeys in, wrenches.
And there's still it's not 100% sure they're going to throw Kane in a three-way, but I can't see any other way of doing it. And I think that you're absolutely right as far as Kane being in there.
Right.
Because
nobody wants to see nobody wants to see Batista versus Khali.
Right.
So the only way to dress this stinking turd of a matchup is to put Kane in, and hopefully it won't be so bad.
Absolutely. So there you guys
Let's
go, man.
Let's recap a little bit of what Brian said.
Yes.
It seems like there is a lot of lawyer speak going on in and around surrounding this case. And, I can't see a situation where WWE comes out looking good from this,
No.
Especially if they lawyer up like they are.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask him this, but we had audio difficulties, but maybe you know the answer to this. Is there any difference between anabolic steroids and just steroids? Is it just two names for the same thing?
No, and I always just knew that, you know, testosterone was one type of steroid that you could use. There are dozens, you know, maybe even more than that. Brian seemed to be very knowledgeable in that regard, and I'll defer to him. He absolutely said there is absolutely no difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian, he's been doing this almost every night for the last 2 weeks. Just everybody. So he's been saying the same things over and over and over all day. Brian, I feel sorry for you, my friend. He probably goes to sleep and dreams about Nancy Grace and the woman he affectionately called the woman with the mouth, which is what the internet wrestling community has labeled Susan Moss. I don't know if you watch Nancy Grace.
I refuse to watch any of this coverage because it's just so cheap and sensationalized.
Right. I actually watched just the stuff that Brian went on because Brian's my homie. There's this lady, and her name is Susan Moss, and she is a family lawyer and child advocate. And, like, everything she says is, like, completely dramatic and over the top. Like, not that she's saying it, but how she says it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a soap opera. And she has taken the...
Is she an African-American woman?
No, she's not. And she has taken the OJ lawyer approach of rhyming her stuff. And I think her best line was, this doc deserves to be under lock.
Oh.
Yes. So, and everything she just comes out, you know, everything she says just comes out so dramatically. It's hilarious. And she has been dubbed by the internet wrestling community as the woman with the mouth. And that's who he was speaking about when he was talking about who was on the show that week, tonight. But that was, boy, yeah, everybody has lawyered up, as he said. A lot of, I guess, professionals on the program tonight as opposed to wrestlers and reporters and people with opinions. Now it's getting really serious, and I don't think it's going to end here at all.
No, it's this is the tip of the iceberg. And WWE can't make this go away fast enough.
No, they can't. But I think by completely denying, and you know, if there is no difference between an anabolic steroid and a steroid, or you know, testosterone and anabolic steroids, to argue over what a word means.
It's Bill Clinton all over again.
Is a lawyerish way to try to deflect heat on yourself, which they didn't really do this when Eddie Guerrero passed away, mostly because there was no question.
And there was no murder.
Right. But,
especially when you throw a woman and a child in and forget about it.
But I don't think if WWE said, man, maybe we need to look over the steroid policy again, enough is enough, and we're going to do our best to fix this. I don't think if they said that, anybody would be running around yelling, it's Vince McMahon's fault. Vince McMahon's a killer.
What they're not wanting to do is to get sued by the Benoit estate.
Definitely, but that is so far like cause and effect removed from exactly what happened down there in Georgia. I don't think that would hold up in court, but of course you don't want to be sued at all.
Right.
Because you have to pay money to defend yourself. But I seriously doubt even if they did get sued that they would lose.
Well, yeah. I mean, the more they defend themselves, it's the old Shakespeare theory, may thinks thou doth protest too much.
Right. I don't know. It's a crazy thing, and this and probably watching CNN and Fox News, which I give myself maybe 3 days break between shows, is what's giving me this big aneurysm, Kevin.
That's what does it. You know, it's not you know, it's not diet, it's not atmospheric conditions, it's not the greenhouse effect, it's
nope.
Not global warming.
It's not even those 12 beers I had last night. It
no.
is this story and this sensationalistic game.
Yep.
It's horrible.
I've never spoken to Brian before, and I don't know him at all, but I could just hear the disdain in his voice for everybody that was involved in this show tonight.
He is going to lose it soon himself, I think. As far as having an aneurysm, I think he's you know, I think I had said this on his message board that, you know, if I don't laugh this week, I'm going to have an aneurysm, and I can't
yeah.
even imagine how Brian feels is what I said.
Right.
But he you know, this is his job. It's not really mine. I can do this show. We can do the show. Les can do the show by just reading whatever everybody else is reporting. We don't have to research these reports and talk to these people or anything like that. We can, but we just choose not to.
Right.
But Brian does do this. Wow. What are you eating there, Kevin?
Oh, can you hear that?
Yes, I can hear you eating. Is it something that's sponsored on Raw? Are you eating fruity Skittles?
No, these are baked pretzel rods.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. As long as it's healthy.
Mmm. They're very healthy.
Sound like you're doing a commercial for them, Kevin.
Mmm.
Like, Kevin Kelly says they're healthy.
Mm. Hey, I want to give a pop to some friends of mine who do a great job with an independent promotion in a wrestling school in Rhode Island. I was there this weekend. I did a little seminar. I do a lot of things about on-camera performance with promos and vignettes, and the wrestling company is Eastern Pro Wrestling. They're at epwwrestling.com. They have a television show they put up. It's I think they probably do like two or three new shows a month that are available on the internet at their website, epwwrestling.com. And my friend Bob Evans' wrestling school, which is Slam Tech Wrestling. It's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and if you want any information on that, go to slamtechwrestling.com.
Excellent. What are the seminars that you do?
Well, I mainly focus on doing interviews. It starts at the beginning with creating a story for yourself, coming up with one so that you're not left with doing a promo about a match where all you talk about is how big and tough you are and how you're going to win. come up with that Jake Roberts-like story and take the audience on a journey. And I show them a pattern that you can write. Every good wrestling promo can be drawn out into geometric shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I draw this out on a piece of paper, and I show them how this works.
So it's basically psychology of promos.
That's all it really is. And it's some of the stuff that I stole from Les. If he was here, I'd say it. I stole it right from him. And I tell a lot of stories from the things that we did in developmental. But it's the things that the guys need to hear, and not only hear once, but need to hear time and time and time again. At the camp on Saturday, we had about a dozen people, and it was good because it was a small group. I was able to really work with them and do several different exercises and watch them back on tape. We had everybody from guys who are brand new in the business who are just training right now, haven't even had a match, all the way up to guys that have been in the business for 14, 15 years. And everybody got something from it. In fact, I was surprised to see the two older guys there. And one of them came to me halfway through and said, I was a little skeptical about doing this, but you really opened up my eyes. This guy's pretty good on promos.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't realize how much I need to learn about this. And I said, it's that way for everybody, so I'm glad you at least had an open mind and came to this and decided to do it, and I'm glad that it's helping you.
Cool.
We had a lot of fun. We had some. We always have laughs whenever we do that type of thing because you're hooting and hollering and watching these things back and really break them down. And I always try to be constructive in my criticism, find the good, but tell them when things are bad. And I tell a lot of stories about guys that I worked with in The Rock and things like that, and how The Rock basically had a composition notebook that he sat and wrote what became his promo fodder and his catchphrases.
Really?
Yeah.
So he would sit down in his notebook and he would be like, "Do you get a whiff in the air of what's for dinner?"
Yeah, no.
And he's like, "No, that's not right. Do you smell?" I got it.
He came up with a lot of his, and it also allows you to channel your thoughts and to project on paper what you want to be. And it really, because the character of The Rock was an offshoot of his frustration of being booed by the fans when he first came out as Rocky Maivia.
Right.
So he really needed to come up with and put that character on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's what every young person in the business should do. Whoever you are and whatever you choose to be, let's come up with a backstory for that. It could be a very real backstory.
Mm-hmm.
I was an amateur wrestling champion, and I was an AAU champion, and I was an Olympic finalist, and I got into pro wrestling because of that. Or I was, the son of a guy who hung sheetrock for 12 hours a day and drank himself into an early grave, and I was left to raise my mother and, three younger sisters,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing this for them. Whatever that story is, just live it and become it.
And I think it's good to do that because, for one, it's a lot better than having somebody write your story for you. But for two, when you write it down, you remember and think about it on different levels.
And it also gives you a reason for doing things in a match,
mm-hmm.
that allow you to not have to go out there and kill yourselves with 50,000 high spots.
Right.
If the people care about you through hearing you speak, then you don't have to do as much in the ring. And you don't have to, tax your body as badly. But if you get up there and you say bland things, people aren't going to care, and the only way you can get a reaction is to get out there and throw yourself through a table.
Right. Excellent.
So that really was what it's all about, and I do them occasionally. I mainly only do them for Bob now because I'm so busy and got the new baby and everything like that.
Yes.
I'll probably do another one in, September or October. But go check out those websites, epwwrestling.com, and learn about the promotion, Eastern Pro Wrestling. In fact, they're doing their own wellness seminar, which is a great thing, where they're bringing in some local, psychologists, and they're bringing in doctors.
Cool.
And I think they're going to have members of the law enforcement community there. And what they're going to talk about is everything relating to health and fitness and nutrition and illegal drugs and street drugs and painkillers and steroids and everything else under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud EPW for doing this They were the trendsetters. They were the first ones to do this. So I'm really proud of them for putting this together, and I think it's going to be very beneficial. I hope others follow suit.
Yes. Take notes, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Kevin Kelly on Wrestling Weekly. We're going to be right back, guys. We've got our featured guest coming up, Sarah Del Rey. Stick around.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to Wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evans Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
There's the latest latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Kevin Kelly back here with you, Wrestling Weekly. Well, Kevin, we're jinxed.
You know, it's not my fault.
No, it's not your fault, but I think something's jinxed. I don't know, but we did try to get a hold of Sarah. We could not get a hold of Sarah. We sincerely apologize for that.
Well, again, you know, we still have 20 minutes, and who knows, her cell phone could have been away from her for the time being, and she might call us back. And
right.
Well, we'd love to speak to her. It'd be great.
If she does, give us a call back before the end of the show. We will go ahead and try to get her on, even if it's just to say hi, which it might be.
Yeah. Well, where can I, if I don't know anything about Sarah Del Rey, where can I find out about her, Doc?
You can find out all about Sarah Del Rey at, for one, Sarah is the Shimmer champion. So you can go to shimmerwrestling.com, guys, and that is all the information about Sarah and the other wrestlers in Shimmer. Yes. But let me go here, and you can tell I'm trying to stall. But I'm looking up, and I know Sarah does have an official website, which I am going and looking for right now. Oh, she doesn't have an official website. Wow. You can go to shimmerwrestling.com, yeah? Uh-huh.
That'll get you in.
That'll get you close. But let's take some questions from the chat room. Smeghead says, Doc, are you still hurting from when you got dropped in the ring? And did you sue? I don't know if you know the story, Kevin.
What happened?
I was doing a... I was promoting a wrestling show in Indiana, and it was like under the Wrestling Weekly banner. It was going to be Wrestling Weekly's first, you know, independent wrestling show. It was called No Second Chances. We had Rosie come over from where he lived. Romeo Roselli was in the house, if you will. Josh Abercrombie was there. Robert Ego Anthony. He wrestles in Florida Championship now under... WWE developmental. You heard of him? But anyway, so I was ring announcing at this event, which, as I learned later, and Rosie did tell me, never do more than one job on a show. So I'm trying to put the show together, and I'm also ring announcing at the same time. Now, this was like 15 minutes from my house, practically. So it was hometown, so I figured, you know, when you're in the hometown, I was going to do the old gimmick of humiliating somebody in their old town. So I told, I went backstage and I told Romeo Roselli, I said, when I call you out, and he was going to come out and cut a promo after intermission, I said, when I call you out, come over and just knock me down, knock me over, shove me down, or whatever, and cut your promo. And he's like, all right. And I told him this, like, when he first got there. So I went to the ring after intermission, like, and I had completely forgotten all about it. And he comes out, and he takes the mic from me, and he goes, he points at the ceiling, which I thought was really goofy, but he points at the ceiling and goes, "What's that?" And as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, here. I was like, you know, like remembering that he was going to do this, but also trying to look at the ceiling at the same time because he just said it and it was kind of automatic. So when I did that, I mean, he just shoved me hard to where I couldn't, like, take the bump right.
Yep.
Because I'm not trained very well. And so I went down on my butt, fell, you know, went all the way back and knocked my head against the mat, which didn't really bother me. I mean, I had a headache for about 10 minutes and it went away. And then I really didn't think none of it, but a couple of months later, I started to get, like, tingly in my left arm, and I went to the doctor, but, well, it first started with just tingles, like, when I was waking up, it really hurt, and my shoulder, and stuff like that, and then it spread to my right arm, and my right shoulder. So I went to the doctor, and he said that there was a, like, swelling around the C5, and I would have to, like, do rehab for a month. So I had to do all that stuff. And actually, to answer your question, no, I don't feel better yet, because I did feel better, like, before the month was over, and the doctor said, if you feel better before the therapy is over, finish the therapy and just cancel your appointment with me after that. So that's what I did. I finished the therapy, and I canceled my appointment with him. I didn't need to come back. But now, lately, in the last couple of weeks, it's starting to come back again. Huh. So either I'm doing something wrong, I'm having bad posture, or I'm sleeping badly, or something, but it is now, you know, getting the tingles back in both arms again and stuff like that. And no, I am not going to sue, because I specifically told him to do it. And if I had to sue the company that put on the show, I would be suing myself.
That would be great.
Am I right, Kevin?
You're absolutely right, and you're a dumbass.
Can I take myself to Judge Judy? Why am I a dumbass?
Because first of all...
Uh-oh, here we go.
All right, first of all, you never, ever tell anybody to do anything to you, ever.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Never, ever.
Why?
Because it hurts.
Oh, okay.
All right?
All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, a trampoline and feathers. And...
feathers.
No, of course not. I did plan on taking it. I knew how to take it.
I know, but that's not the point. The point is never write your own stuff. Never say, oh, I come up with a way to humiliate myself.
Yeah, I know this part now.
Golly.
I had practiced back bumps and stuff like that, so I figured it was just a simple back bump. But I didn't realize, number one, that he was going to push me that hard.
Yeah, and except you have your head up, so you can't tuck your chin.
That's when, like, when I started to go down wrong, that's when I panicked, and that's why I didn't tuck my chin. But, yeah. It was a big mess, and guys, don't try this at home. They mean it.
Right.
Right. Restholt says, Kevin, what's your favorite restaurant chain, and what's your favorite music groups?
Oh, that's good questions. Favorite restaurant chain would probably be, Bennigan's, or where can you always go? TGI Fridays.
What about Denny's? Shouldn't you be used to that?
Yeah, but, you know, I never would go to Denny's. I mean, I did, but I always liked Shoney's better than Denny's.
Yeah.
And I would go, if I was on the road, I'd go Waffle House over Denny's or Shoney's.
Yeah. What about music? This is my favorite, because, like, they're saying in the chat room right now that Doc is a huge fan of rap music and talks ghetto when he's not on the radio.
Huh.
I want to know how that guy knows me, number one.
yeah.
No, but I do like rap music, and I am from Chicago, in the Chicago area, and I grew up in a bad neighborhood, so yeah, I listened to rap. That was the music of the neighborhood.
That was the language that bonded you all together.
Yes, and I did, before I went to broadcasting school, sound like Eminem. Yes.
Wow. I have, just for example, I have a Wu-Tang song on my phone as my ringer.
So you like rap?
Yeah, of course I do.
Excellent.
I was the only white kid in 1985 who knew who Run-DMC was when they came out and performed at Grad Night.
Were you a Sugar Hill Gang fan too?
No, I hated Sugar Hill Gang because
really?
they were a creation by the record company.
They were a product of the man.
Yeah.
If you will.
They weren't a real group. They weren't Grandmaster Flash, you know? They weren't Run DMC, they weren't any of those real groups. That was the man trying to force feed us what they thought we would like.
Right.
I love hard rock, Metallica, Lynyrd Skynyrd, rap music. I like pretty much older stuff of that. You know, Wu-Tang, Kanye West I like. I like Jay-Z. And that's it.
I liked all the rap from, like, 88 to 94. I did like Run-DMC and all that stuff, but it was kind of East Coast-ish to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not from the East Coast, so it was... sort of like in the Midwest, all the rap was all the West Coast rap was popular.
Yeah, you liked what was that group? I'm trying to think of what that was. That one record producer who had all those different groups and they all kind of sounded the same. It was about the same time as Bell Biv DeVoe.
Oh God,
Teddy something or other. He had Rex in Effect, and
yeah.
He had oh yeah.
See, now like the show has gone out the window, we're just talking here.
Kid and Play, you
Kid
liked
and Play
all that.
Rocked, and I liked DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, man.
You know what? DJ, and I like alternative music too, with like They Might Be Giants,
mm-hmm.
And what else? Pretty much, you know.
Good
I'm
stuff.
Open-minded to music.
Yeah. Now we're just reminiscing, but the main ingredient says your favorite moment in WWE on the road.
The 1 mile race between Coach and Tony Chimmel. For many reasons. This had built up over weeks and months of trash talking between the two, and it had become a bet, and over the time the bet had evolved to where Coach had to beat Chimmel in a 1 mile race by over a minute.
By over, right. Okay, at least he got the minute.
He had to at least win by a minute, and the bet was not money, but 100 push-ups. to be doled out by the winner to the loser at the winner's behest. So at any time, the winner could say, "Give me a push-up." So now this is we.
Now is it 100 push-ups at once, or can he say, "Give me 10 times"?
You could have done 100 at once. You could have done 10 at 10 times, or the way Tony Chimmel eventually did it was one at a time. Now. All right, so months of buildup. We circle on the calendar. We're going to be at Penn State on this particular date. We knew they had a track right next to the arena. Perfect. We'll do it there. Now, this also happens to be the day that WWE is debuting on TNN. All right?
Uh-huh.
This is going to be a big show. Now, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there is no one in the arena. The entire company, except for Vince and Stephanie, couple of other people, but by and large, 90% of the talent, 90% of the wrestlers, 90% of the crew, all out at the track
mm-hmm.
to watch this race, and to which Bradshaw had the line, which summed it all up, on a day in which a billion-dollar company debuts on a brand-new network, it will grind to a complete halt to watch two grown men make complete asses out of themselves. So... needless to say, Chimmel starts with the one-minute advantage, and Coach couldn't make up the difference, and in fact, Chimmel almost wound up beating him outright.
Wow.
Because Coach's back locked up on him about three-quarters of the way through. And it was just wonderful. It was a high watermark in my career.
So how long did it take for Chimmel to dole out one at a time these push-ups?
Well, I think we had one given out right then and there.
Yeah.
And he had to say, I am Tony Chimmel's bitch. And, in fact, you saw some of that on Tough Enough. They stole that bet from Coach and Chimmel.
Ah.
Well, anyway. Then we were in Pittsburgh the next night doing SmackDown. Chimmel, the ring announcer, in between we're changing over from Heat to SmackDown, I think it was.
Mm.
Coach is out there ringside for commentary, and Chimmel gets on the house mic and makes Coach do a push-up right in the center of the ring.
In front of everybody.
In front of an entire stunned, going, what is this crowd in Pittsburgh?
They're like, what's this new angle?
What is this?
What is that?
What is that? Who are you? And so that was really it. I mean, we had great times playing Beal. We played this card game. It was great. Lawler invented it. And it just was, it's a four-man game. It's like spades and hearts. And it just was so much fun. And we'd get together and, you know, we'd come into the town like a day early and we'd have a tournament or something like that. And the referees and the ring crew guys would be there and me and Coach and Cole. And we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Dodgeball says, what are your thoughts on MMA and UFC? And do you think it'll change the way Vince does business?
I think it will. I think it is. It's going to have an effect on it. And the reason that I say that is because I think it was in fact, he's gotten some press coverage because he was one who helped discover Nancy Benoit, Bill Otten, who's been a long-time photographer in pro wrestling, over 20 years, and is a good friend of mine. He told me about shoot fighting 16 years ago. I didn't even know what it was,
mm-hmm.
And he said that this is going to affect wrestling.
I had seen it in some foreign movies that you see, you know, in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen shoot fighting, but I didn't really think it existed.
Right, and what they needed to do was to figure up a way to work the finishes, which they've got, and they need to work on the entertainment aspect, which they've done.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the thing where WWE was going to have the women show less skin and be more classy and take these classes? What was it? Charm school? Whatever happened to that idea? Did you hear about this?
No.
This was like two or three months ago. This was all over the internet news that they were going to class these girls up and. You know, they were going to make them role models and stuff. And it never happened, and it was never mentioned again, so.
I don't think they're as skanky as they could be.
They're not as bad as they were during the Monday Night Wars.
Right.
Not even close. I don't know, they're a little too bubble-headed for my taste. And what I mean by that is in the storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand Maria's whole thing. Because it was based off something real in that she kept screwing up every week.
Right.
And so they said, hey, just let's have her screw up every week, and that's her gimmick. She's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other girls, they're just kind of filler. And sometimes me and Les, like, forget their names and stuff.
Yeah, I know very few of them now because pretty much if Victoria's in the ring, I'll watch her wrestle. Mickey James in the ring, I'll watch her wrestle. Pretty much anybody else, I'm not really into. I just don't think they're that good.
Right.
I mean, they try hard, and they want to be successful, don't get me wrong. But they just don't. It's like WNBA basketball, and this is the point I would make to Sarah Del Rey. Why would people want to pay money to an all-girls show? Because if you're an NBA fan, if you like basketball, there is nothing that's attractive about the WNBA at all, because you'd think that they would play the game better than the men do, even though they can't dunk and they can't do all this and that. But they don't. They still turn the ball over. They still shoot at a poor percentage. They don't make their free throws.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play the game better than the men do, and that's really the only thing they have to hang their hat on. Now with women in wrestling can do all the same moves as a guy can, so they have a distinctive advantage, but they have to execute them well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. So if you have an all-girls show, you can't even afford to have one bad match, because if you have one bad girls match, it kills it for everybody else.
Right.
And that's a lot of pressure.
Right.
You know, it just can't happen.
Now, One last question before we get out of here, and I'm gonna have to make this short. I'm sure you have a lot to say on it, but this guy just keeps bugging me in the chat room about this. But he wants to know the origin of your quote-unquote feud with Bob Ryder.
Oh, it's not really a feud. I mean, it was pretty much like a walkover. No, he's an idiot. He was a shill for WCW, and he was criticizing the WWF, I think, at the time, repeatedly about how sleazy and smutty we were. And I went on some Fakaka show and debated him.
So it was like a Monday Night Wars byproduct?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And Bob's not a bad guy, but then I outed him for being, being...
Choosing an alternative lifestyle?
For being a pervert.
Oh.
And a deviant.
Okay.
Not so much an alternative lifestyle, but just being a perv about it.
I understand. Well, we're going to have to get going, guys, because we're running out of time. Kevin, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been fun, even though we didn't get to speak to our featured guest. It's always fun talking to you.
Yeah, it was a blast. And please, next time you book a guest, let's go now, okay?
I can do no more than tell them on the day.
No. Well, hey, last week, remember?
Last week was my fault. This week was not my fault.
All right. Well, get your act together. No, and thanks for having me. And again, you'll have Les back in his normal spot next week. And please give Les my best the next time you speak to him.
I will. Guys, keep checking out the website for our future guests at WrestlingWeekly.com.
Maybe they'll show up.
Right, maybe they'll be there next time, but until then, for Kevin Kelly, I am Doc Young, and like Michelle McCool, I am loving life. Good night.